Good morning. I'm sure we've all enjoyed the lovely singing we have had and the music on the instrument as well as in solo. And I'm sure the Lord has really blessed us as we have sung together these beautiful songs of praise. It's a real joy and privilege for me to be back here and part of the fans. It's always a pleasure to come here and to meet many friends and some new friends as well each time. I'd like to say how much my wife and I appreciate the warm welcome that we've already received. We look forward to spending the week with you and trust the Lord will bless us all as we fellowship together. A number of you have been asking about my arm, and I better tell you so that you know what has happened. Some people have even asked, what's the other guy like? Well, there wasn't another guy involved, and there wasn't another gal involved either. You can look at my wife, and she's perfectly sound, and I didn't have a fit of temper and started beating her. And I didn't try to beat my sons. Three sons, and they're all younger than I, of course, and they're all much bigger than I. So there's no point in trying to hit them. No, I did it all by myself. I was walking along just from the office of the service station where my car was being serviced to the car, just a few steps, seemed all right, no problem. And this, of course, was in Canada, and those of you who have never seen it may not know what snow and ice is all about, but my heel slipped on the ice, I fell flat on my back, and after it, I got up and drove into the cutover in the car. When I got back to the condominium where we stay, one or two people asked me how I was, and I said, well, the only thing that was hurt was my pride, but I discovered that something else was hurt. In falling to the ground, I guess, not only my back was hurt, it wasn't too bad, but my arm was hurt. And it got more and more painful, and I had to go to the hospital. They put on a splint, and they suspect there may be a fracture, but it'll be a week or two before they can tell for sure by an x-ray whether it's fractured or not. But in any case, there's nothing to worry about. Don't be too sympathetic with me. I have a splint in my arm, but it's not very painful, and I'm looking forward to getting this off when I get back to Toronto in 2 or 3 weeks' time. It's a real joy to be here, and we're going to continue the theme that we began this morning, the theme of the Lord Jesus. There's a hymn that says, no subject so glorious as He, no theme so affecting to us. And we're going to think about the Lord Jesus. In these morning sessions, we're going to think of the encouragement that the Lord gives to us. We're going to think of the encouragement He gave to people while He was here on earth. He used words that we're going to be using over and over again and looking at them for on 5 different occasions, one for each day that we're going to be thinking in the morning sessions. He said, be of good cheer. Once translated, be of good comfort. We're going to look at the circumstances in which He gave that encouragement. And then in the evening sessions, we're going to think of the example the Lord has set for us, the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. He said, I have given you an example that you should follow in His steps. This evening, in the will of the Lord, we're going to think of His example in relation to the Scriptures, the Word of God, and how we too should follow His example in reading and remembering and recalling the Word of God. For this morning, let's turn, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Matthew and read our first story of encouragement. It's a very simple story as we read it, and yet there are some wonderful truths contained in it. Matthew chapter 9, please, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. We could read this story from Mark's Gospel or Luke's Gospel, and in commenting on it, we're going to think of what other writers have said about this interesting story. But let's turn to see what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power unto men. The Lord will bless to us the reading of this wonderful little story from the life of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow in a moment of prayer, please. O God, our Father, we crave the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus this morning. He said, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We long that we may experience and appreciate his presence with us as we think of him and the encouragement he can give to us. We pray that each one of us may be encouraged. And it may be there are some here who don't know him personally as Lord and Savior and friend and guide. We pray that in the quietness of this auditorium this morning, they may come to put their trust in him and know him as Lord and Savior. We ask in his peerless name. One of the commonest medical problems confronting doctors today is the problem of depression. Depression has been described as America's number one emotional disorder. Some have assessed that probably at any time there are about 8 million people in North America suffering from depression. It affects all ages. It affects all strata of society. It affects people of different occupations. It can affect any one of us. It affects the small, and it also affects the great. The man of the century, Winston Churchill, was troubled with bouts of depression. A great painter of last century, Van Gogh, who completed over 800 oil paintings in his lifetime, but I understand sold only one at that time, he was subject to depression. So severe that on one occasion, I believe, in a fit of depression, he cut off his ear. It affects even Christians. Some of the great Christians whose names we are acquainted with were subject to depression. Martin Luther, C.H. Spurgeon, John Calvin were subject to depression. Depression can occur, of course, from various causes. Underlying many cases of depression, there are biochemical abnormalities in the brain that give rise to depression. Sometimes it arises from physical illnesses in various parts of the body. So that when a friend of yours is a Christian, is subject to depression, don't criticize and blame him. It may arise from factors over which they have no control. Of course, depression can occur as a result of emotional and psychological problems. And it can also occur as a result of spiritual needs. Sin and guilt can cause depression. There are many causes. Whatever the cause of the depression, the Lord Jesus can help. Sometimes he can solve it completely as we trust him. But whatever the cause, he can help that depression. Whether we're depressed or not, I discover that in my lifetime, many Christians pass through discouragement. Have you been discouraged lately? In this time of recession? In this time of difficulties? Maybe because of the result of the election? Maybe because of bereavement or sadness or some illness that you have had or some friends have had, we're all liable to encouragement. And during these mornings, we're going to think of the different circumstances that give rise to discouragement, in which the Lord Jesus, by his word of mercy and his power, can solve our discouragement and meet us in our depression. The word we're going to look at is a word that we've read already this morning. Let's look at verse 2, at the end of the verse. The word that the Lord Jesus said to this poor man who was a paralytic, he said, Son, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. As I said, the Lord said this particular word in the Greek 5 times, twice it's repeated. 5 times he gave this word of encouragement. I say word of encouragement because in the initial language, in the Greek language, there's only one word that's translated be of good cheer. It's translated in different ways. For example, the NIV translates it take heart. It's sometimes translated take courage. It can be translated cheer up. The basic root of this word is a word that means courage. And so we could say, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. That's what the Lord told this man as he came to him. He said, be encouraged. And that's what he says to us in various circumstances of life. He says, be encouraged. There's an old chorus that used to be sung. I never liked it specially, but you may sing it. You may find it encouraging and helpful. It says, cheer up, ye saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. The problem is that often, when we sing that chorus, there is something to worry about. There are problems that affect us, and it's not really true to say there's nothing to worry about. But you know, if you go to your doctor, and you go to him with a pain or a swelling or something that's worrying you, and the doctor doesn't even examine you and say, don't worry, there's nothing to worry about, you wouldn't think much of that doctor. You would want to go to another doctor. That wouldn't give you much encouragement. But if the doctor gave you a full and thorough examination, and he discovered after that examination, including x-rays and blood tests, that there was nothing wrong, and he called you to his office and he said, listen, I've been through all these tests. We can diagnose exactly what's wrong with you, and there is nothing to worry about. Then that doctor is encouraging. The Lord Jesus is greater than the greatest physician. And when he says, be of good cheer, be encouraged, we can take heart. We can really be encouraged. We can know that's in his hand, and what's his hand is all for the good. And so, let's look at this story and this particular man. As I said, the story is told by the three synoptic writers, that is, Matthew and Mark and Luke, and we can find more details in Mark and Luke than we have in Matthew, but we come to Matthew because Matthew has this statement of the Lord Jesus, be of good cheer. Let's picture the scene. The Lord Jesus has just crossed the Sea of Galilee, the lake that's in the north part of Palestine. It's a beautiful lake. I had the privilege of being there 3 or 4 years ago. It's a lovely lake. The Lord crossed it oftentimes. And he crossed the lake and he arrived at his home city. We are told in the other Gospels that that was Capernaum. And he was in that city, in Capernaum. Possibly he was actually in the home of his disciple Peter. That was where he often went, in the city of Capernaum. And he may have been in that home, but when he got into the home, people discovered he was there, and they began to crowd into that home. He was the center of every eye, and people longed to hear him speak, and longed to know about him more. I wish we were like that. When he is there, we should want to be there as well. Well, the Lord was in this home, and there was crowds. They filled every place in the house, right outside the door. It was crowded. When suddenly, something happened. Surprise, surprise. Just as the Lord was preaching to the crowd, the roof opened, and a man was dropped down right to where the Lord was. That was the man that we've read about, this paralytic. You see, it was impossible to get to the Lord Jesus the usual way. And so four men, who had been his helpers, the helpers of this paralytic, climbed the outside stairs and onto the roof. And roofs in those days were often made of thick clay, supported by branches, supported by wooden beams. And they dug into this thick clay and removed sufficient to let this man down with his mat or his pallet, sometimes called a bed here, and they let the man down right into the presence where Jesus was. The Lord Jesus spoke to this man. He didn't say, you shouldn't have come in here. This is my domain. He didn't do that. He spoke to this man. We want to notice what he said to him. The first word he said was, son, son. Well, he wasn't, of course, the son of the Lord Jesus, but, of course, this word indicated that the Lord Jesus had compassion on him and addressed him as his very own son. What a wonderful Savior in person he is, son. We don't know the circumstances of this man too much. We know he was sick of a palsy. That means that he had a paralytic illness. We don't know how much the paralysis was, whether it was extensive to his arms and legs. We know that it must have affected his legs because he couldn't walk. He had to be carried. And we don't know whether this was an acute paralysis or a chronic paralysis. Whether he had just developed it or whether it had been there for months or years. We don't know that. But the Lord said, be of good cheer. He gave a word of encouragement. We can be therefore sure that this man was discouraged. And I can understand, can't you, why he would be discouraged? If it was an acute paralysis, and it had just come on him, think of it. You put yourself into the shoes of this man. How would you feel? I'm sure we would all feel, how long is this going to last? Is it going to be lifelong? Am I ever going to get rid of it? Am I going to be paralyzed for months or days or even years? And if it was a chronic paralysis, maybe he'd had it for 2 or 3 years already, we would be just so discouraged because we hadn't been able to do anything ourselves for these long years. And so it was well that the Lord said to this man, be of good cheer. That was his word of encouragement. Now let's notice the second word of encouragement that the Lord gave to this man. He said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven me. Can you hear the man saying under his breath, what's all that about? It's not forgiveness of sins I wanted. It was strength of my limbs, healing of my disease. That word caused angry thoughts among the bystanders. They said, who is this that forgives sins? Nobody can forgive sins but God alone. And the man might have thought, what has that to do with my illness? It's like you're going to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses something that you didn't know you had before, but it wasn't related in any way to what you had. And you say, well, what did he look at that for? It didn't even touch my illness that I came to, the symptoms that I came to him with. Well, the Lord Jesus did that. He said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Why did he say that? Well, I think there were a number of reasons why the Lord Jesus said that. Let's think of some of the possible reasons. Because, you see, all of us, in many respects, are like this man with the paralysis. We need to be encouraged. And we have problems. Problems that need to be solved. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one who can really solve them. So let's think of some of the reasons the Lord may have said, thy sins are forgiven me. First of all, I think the basic reason why he said that is that this man's real problem, this man's deepest problem, was not his paralysis, but it was his sins. And you see, that's our real problem too. That's our deepest problem. Sickness can affect our lives, but sin can affect our eternal destiny. And the Lord was not only looking at the temporal problem of the man, but he was looking at his eternal problem. Some have even suggested that the Lord said, thy sins are forgiven thee, because this patient had some special sin that needed forgiveness. We can't be sure of that, but that's a possibility. But whether or not, all of us are sinners. And we need that sin to be forgiven. As I said, some of the bystanders, these religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were critical of the Lord, as they often were. They had come from all over the place to see him and to criticize him. They'd even come away up from Jerusalem and Judea, several miles, walking it, to see the Lord and to criticize him. And they found something to criticize. They did it under their breath. They had their thoughts, although they didn't express their words. They said, only God can forgive sin. What's this man doing, blaspheming, pretending he's forgiving sins, which is the right of only God to do? Well, the Lord Jesus had that right. And he had the right to forgive sins, and he still has the right to forgive sins for two very important reasons. The first reason is that he was and is God. He was and is God. He had already given evidence of that when he spoke back this word to these men. He had given evidence because he knew their thoughts. Before he healed the paralyzed man, he had given evidence to them that he knew exactly what they were thinking before they expressed it. That was something that only God could do, and he was and is God. And He still is God. And He still knows all our thoughts. He still knows all the secrets of all of our lives. We were reading this morning in Psalm 139, and there we read, "Thou understandest my thought afar off." The Lord knows all our thoughts. Before it's risen to consciousness, the Lord knows our thoughts. He is God. And therefore He is able to forgive sins. But there was a second reason why He could forgive sins. Not only because He was God, but because He came to provide the means by which sin could be forgiven. He did that. How did He do that? He came to do that by taking the penalty that sin deserved and provided forgiveness for sinful men. How did He take the penalty? Well, He took the penalty by going to the cross of Calvary and bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. And forgiveness of sins today as they can only be obtained through one person. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And sin can only be forgiven by coming to the Lord Jesus and trusting Him, confessing our sins and repenting of sin, and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this morning who's never had the joy of their sins forgiven. You've never known what it is to know that you're sure of heaven because your sins are put away. And let me tell you, there's nothing that defiles that's ever going to enter there. If you want to get into God's presence, and if you want to enter God's heaven, you have to have your sins forgiven. And there's only one person who can do it, the one who is God, and the one who came to provide forgiveness by dying for your sins on the cross. And that's the Lord Jesus. There's a second reason that the Lord Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." It is true that not all sickness is the direct result of sin. But many illnesses are brought on by sin. And many sicknesses are aggravated by sin. I'm sure we can all tell of some illnesses that often are the result of sin. There's a terrible illness that's becoming very widespread today. The illness of AIDS. And however people may think about it, in the majority of cases, that is the result of sin. And there are other illnesses that are the result of sin. But sin can aggravate the symptoms of illness and can cause depression. Guilt and sin can lead to discouragement and depression. And the Lord Jesus, by forgiving sin, can take away that depression and that discouragement. My friend, if there's some sin in your life that you've never confessed, some sin that is at the back of your mind, you can't get away from it, bring it to Jesus. For the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, not to me, and not to a friend, unless you've sinned against that friend, but unto the Lord Himself, confess to Him, and He's willing, faithful, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a third reason I think the Lord Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," and that is that while sin may not be the cause of the specific illnesses that we are liable to, sin is the root cause of sickness in the world. There would have been no sickness in this world had sin not entered in the Garden of Eden. And sickness and death, God said, are the result of sin entering our world. So the Lord Jesus, when He said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," was on perfectly solid ground. And I trust that all of us have experienced that forgiveness. The Lord Jesus showed His power to forgive by healing this man of his disease. And He can show His power in our lives if we trust Him and seek His presence and His blessing. He can still hear and heal. This man came with a paralysis. His paralysis is a picture of all of us. For you see, in our natural state, every one of us is powerless. We cannot do the things that God would have us do. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 tells us, I desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Oh, he said, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And you know, all of us sometime in our lives have that experience. Oh, that we could get rid of these habits. Oh, that we could overcome this sinful influence in our lives. Oh, that we could conquer these problems and these passions and these habits that we have. And there's only one who can break the power of cancelled sin and set the prisoner free. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven not only to forgive our sins, but to break the power of sin in our lives. How can we experience this? How can we know that power? How can we know that forgiveness? How did this man know that power and that forgiveness? Well, he knew it by two ways. First of all, it was God's power. It was the power of God. For the Lord Jesus, as we've seen, is God manifest in flesh. And it was the power of the Lord that was evident that day in healing this man of his paralysis. And he was healed. But there was something else. And that something else is very important to us. It's not only the power of God, but it's the faith of man. I want you to look at a very little phrase that we read together in verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Seeing their faith. Now I know that most of us, when we look at that, we think of the four men that carried this man up these stairs and through the hole in the roof that they made into the presence of Jesus. We think of these four men, and what a wonderful thing they did. It's a thing that you and I, who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and of all the power of our limbs, because He's given that power, can do for others. We can bring them to the Lord. We can bring our neighbors to the Lord, and our friends to the Lord, and our family to the Lord. And we can bring them to Him, and He'll heal them. I trust that's what you're doing. You're bringing your friends to the Lord. But you know, when I read, seeing their faith, I don't think the Lord was only meaning the four men. You see, there were five men. Four men that were carrying him, and one man on the mat that was being carried. It was his faith, as well as their faith, that the Lord rewarded. Perhaps he had asked them to bring him. Perhaps he had consented when they said, we'll take you to Jesus. In any case, I believe it was his faith as well as the rest of their faith. My friend, this tells us a very important thing, that in order to have our sins forgiven and to have the blessing of the Lord in our lives, we need to exercise faith in him. That means that we put our trust in him as our Lord and Savior, that we confess before him that we are sinners and we can't cure our sin, that nothing that we can do can overcome it. But we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he that believeth in him, we are told, has remission of sins. And when we put our trust in him, receive him as our Lord and our Savior, then he forgives us our sins. And what a wonderful day that is when a soul comes to him and has his sins forgiven. I'm going to ask you, will you do that today? What happened as a result of this incident? Well, two things happened. Well, many things happened, but two things in particular. We are told in this passage in verse 8, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God. They didn't appreciate all that had happened. They said, who'd have given such power unto men? Even this incident didn't lead them to an appreciation of the fact that this man was not just another man. He was God. But they gave glory to God because of what had happened. And all of us should bring glory to God because of the evidence of his power in men and women's lives. In another gospel, we're told that this man who was paralyzed went away glorifying God. He gave glory to God. And I'm going to ask you, the majority of you this morning, here in this auditorium, have had your sins forgiven, and you know the Lord as your Savior, I'm going to ask you, have you ever glorified God? Have you glorified God with your lips? Have you given Him thanks and praise for what He's done for you? Are you glorifying God with your life? As you remember all that He has accomplished in your life, will you bring glory to the God who has done it by living for Him, for His honor, for His glory, to spread His gospel? Will you give glory to Him? And you know, when we give glory to Him, we get blessing to ourselves. I trust that every one of us may not only put our trust in Him as our Savior and seek to bring others to Him to know His power as well, but that we will bring glory to the Lord by our lips and by our lives. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that His touch has still its ancient power. No word from Him can fruitless fall. And we would pray, Lord, that in this morning hour Thou wouldst hear us all and heal us. Forgive our sins. It may be there are some here who have never yet received this blessing. We pray that here and now they may trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, and grant that all of us may be encouraged as we hear His word of encouragement and His voice of cheer. Be with us through the rest of this day, we pray. Take our thanks for the Lord Jesus and all the blessings that are ours in Him, for we ask in His peerless name.